Anybody living supernaturally this week?
Amen.
Oh, that was weak. There we are. All right. We got one man living supernaturally. Amen. We all ought to be. Hey, we prayed for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We did. We did. And that was our focus last week, the ministry of the filling of the Holy Spirit. We had a chance to pray for that. Last week, you may recall, I said a church without the Holy Spirit is what? Anybody remember? Another thank you. Woo! The teacher comes through. Thank you, Gene. A church without the Holy Spirit is just another non-profit organization. What's a Christian without the filling of the Holy Spirit?
Boring.
Just another nice person. Here's the deal. Our community doesn't need another nonprofit organization, and it doesn't need just more nice people. I'm sure it could, but you get my point. We as a church need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We, and how does that happen? Because we as individuals are filled with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, what we're going to focus on is we're going to go beyond now the filling and to the drawing work of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit draw us to God? So that's the first thing. On your outline, the Holy Spirit draws people to Christ. And a couple passages there, John 6:44, no one can come to me, and that's Jesus speaking, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Paul elaborates on that also in Ephesians 2:18. Now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father, how? Through the same Holy Spirit, because of what Christ has done for us. We can see from these verses that people come to a place of decision about a relationship with God through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Another way to say this is the Holy Spirit awakens in us an awareness, an interest in the things of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. Both of those are very important. Now, how does this tend to happen? Generally, through difficulties in life. That is how God seems to get our attention the best. Not that God causes bad things to happen in hopes that we get a clue, but when bad things happen, it is an opportunity for us to be more open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it comes about through changes, major changes in our life. It could be a financial change. Something's just really gone south on you financially, and you're thinking more about God. It might be a work situation. You had a job, and now you don't. Or you've got to find one quickly. Legal issues, relocation, a change from one address, and especially from one state to another. All those things can kind of put us in a place of being more open to the voice of God. Sometimes it's through painful or frightening experiences. A relationship falls apart. Could be a health issue. Things like that can be the things that God uses to get our attention. We have a heightened sense of vulnerability during some of those times. And in those vulnerable moments, oftentimes we're a little bit more attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We'll say things like, I'm not sure I can get through this thing, or I'm not sure I've got what it takes to get through this situation. I'm at the end of my rope, or I'm out of options. I'm in over my head. I don't have any hope. Some folks say I hit bottom and the only way out was to look up. Well, again, in all those moments, God is trying to reach out to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And what is he doing? Well, he's trying to draw us to the person who wants to help us, and not only wants to, but is capable, who can help us. It's not some kind of empty hope that the Holy Spirit's drawing us to. It's the God of all hope. When we stop to think about it, and I was thinking about this week as I was working on it, I thought, okay, so God's reaching out, and he's drawing us, and he wants us in a relationship with Jesus, and you know, all this, and thinking, what about some of the situations in which God finds us? Oh my, have mercy, huh? Wow. I think it's amazing, maybe even shocking, that God wants a relationship with us, that he wants to draw us to himself because of some of the situation he finds us in. You think about that for a little bit. I mean, you know, stink like vomit, smell like urine, all right, hangover, hang-ups? What's going on? What kind of situation is God finding you in today? You think, really? He really wants a relationship with me? Given the circumstances under which he finds me, is that really still true? What possible reason could God have to reach out to us? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever thought and said, why did God want me? Yeah, yeah. If you've never stopped and asked yourself that question, do that for a moment. Why would God ever want a relationship with me? Here's what Jesus said. This may be one of the most famous texts in the entire Bible, John 3:16. Here's the answer, right here. For God so loved the world. Why did God care? It just became fresh to me this week. Something new about this. It's simple, and yet it's incredibly profound. God loves us. He's motivated by love beyond our circumstances. He looks past the puke and everything else that's going on in our lives, and he says, I love you. I want a relationship with you. I want to draw you to me through my Holy Spirit. Mind-boggling. Amazing. Amazing. Because of love, God will not give up. Because of love, God will find one more way to try and get our attention again, not because some people say, you know, I got hit upside the head with a two before by God. I understand the picture, but God doesn't use two befores. All right, really? Okay, he doesn't do that. In tough situations, that maybe circumstances were the two before, God comes in and says, let me help you with that. I want to and I can. Amen? Again, as I'm looking at this kind of with fresh eyes and ears, I'm saying, so, Lord, why this kind of love? Why do you look past the circumstances and what has you motivated to love us? And the sense that I got as I was just talking with the Lord about this is because he knows what our life will be like without him. Think about that for a second. If you just got really off track spiritually and you were heading down some really, really dark trails, what would your life be like? What would your eternity be like? See, God has a sense of that, doesn't he? He knows exactly what our life's going to be like. And out of love, he reaches out to us. He refuses to give up, basically, right? Yeah. Anybody give a testimony today? God refused to give up on you. Amen? Yeah? Yeah. God refused to give up on me, didn't he? Simple. It's profound. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing. However, in spite of God's efforts, in spite of circumstances, whatever, all the opportunities that we have to be drawn to him, it doesn't always happen, does it? Anybody here responded, I mean, the first whisper from the Holy Spirit, you were all in? And no. No, it didn't. It took me a while. I see a lot of heads shaking. Yeah. We resist, don't we? Through a lot of reasons. And the first one I talk about is pride. Sometimes pride, that's on your outline, pride holds us back from responding to the drawing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 10, verse 4. These wicked people are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. Really? Wow. Basically, pride convinces us that we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Whatever these circumstances are that I'm going through, I can get through them. I've got through tough things before. I think I can get through this one too. That's what pride says. Pride says, you know, I've made it this far. I am not going to go running to God now. You ever hear people say that? Yeah. Maybe you said that. Some people die like that, resisting forever. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So pride can be one of those things that just really keeps us disconnected from God. Solomon, the wisest person to have lived, wrote in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We may find that shaking our fist at God and claiming self-sufficiency, I can rise above all this, makes us feel powerful. But here's the deal. God's not impressed. Flat out. He is not impressed. You can stand up and shake your fist up in God's face all day long. God is not impressed. And you know what? He still is ready to pick us up when we're willing. When we're willing to say, okay, I give. What's the universal sign for surrender? I give up. I give up. Lord, here I am. Next one, sometimes fear holds us back from responding to the drawing ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, this one's true for me. I wasn't sure that my plans and my goals and my hopes and my dreams, my aspirations, all that, how well would that match up with God's idea? I've been exposed to the Bible enough to realize that God has kind of a plan for people's lives. There's a will that God has for human beings. And I wasn't sure. I didn't understand a great deal about it. I knew enough about it to go, I'm not sure that God's deal and my deal are going to match up. And I was afraid that God might say to me, I have some things that I want you to give up to be on my team. And so I was afraid. I wasn't sure that I wanted to do that. Well, Jesus crossed paths with a guy that also allowed fear to dictate his response to the Holy Spirit, and his story is in Luke 18. Beginning at verse 18, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not testify falsely, honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a child." "There is still one thing you lack," Jesus said. "Sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But when the man heard this, he became sad because he was very rich. Jesus watched him go and then said to his disciples, "How hard it is for a rich person to get into the kingdom of God." Now, again, you know, I kind of try to think visually. I'm trying to get myself inside this story, and I'm there with the disciples, and I can see, you know, the face of this rich man. And when Jesus says to him, "You still lack one thing. Go and sell all you have, give it to the poor, then come follow me." As I look at that man's face, either one of two things happened. Either he turned beet red, or the color went right out of his face. Just boom, right now. Why? Fear. It says he walked away sad. What I sense in this story is that fear gripped him in that moment, and he could not see living without his money. How do I do life without these resources that I have? How can I just give all that up and trust that God is going to take care of me? How can that happen? That's a tough call, isn't it? It's a tough call. So, what about you? What are the fears that keep you from hearing the whispers of the Holy Spirit? Do you have those fears? Are you maybe afraid that you might want a relationship with God, but He wouldn't want one with you? Does that ever cross your mind? Are you afraid that maybe He's going to ask more of you than you're willing to say yes to? Or this one, are you afraid that maybe your sins are just a little bit too big or too many for God to say, "I can forgive that"? What are your fears this morning? Jesus had these words for us to consider. He said, "If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul? We can let fear stand in the way all day long. And like the rich ruler, we'll walk away empty. It's up to us. Next one. Sometimes it's rebellion that holds us back from responding to the drawing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 106, again and again, God delivered Israel, but they continued to do what? To rebel against Him. And they were finally destroyed by their sin. Rebelling is just an outright refusal to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. It is an outright refusal. It's intentional. It's something you do on purpose. All right? This kind of rebellion is not just some kind of carelessness. All right? It's not that. It isn't just a bad case of poor judgment. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who says, I do not want to have anything to do with the person of God. This whole Jesus thing, no interest. No desire at all to be a part of it. There's a deliberateness about rebelling against the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And if that is your deal this morning, please reconsider. Please, I beg you, give some thought to this. Because here's the deal, you're not going to win. Bottom line, you don't win. You know, you've heard the expression, don't ever get in a boxing match with God. His arms are way too long for that. Yeah. You can rebel if you want. You're going to pay a price. It only ends in one way. We see that in Psalm 106. The Israelites were finally destroyed by their sin. They were eternally separated from God. And just be clear, God isn't waiting for you to mess up so He can zap you. That's not God's deal. Okay, what does it say here? It says, they were finally destroyed by their sin. Right? That's how it happens. It's our own choices that do that. In Deuteronomy 8:19, we read, but I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Again, you will not win. You will not win. As we look at this ministry today of the drawing of the Holy Spirit, let's listen to these words of Jesus. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. I love that verse. If you're afraid this morning, if you're rebelling this morning, if you're just unsure of where you want to go with this relationship with God, trust these words of Jesus this morning. Okay, you may not be ready to do the universal sign of surrender this morning. You may not be ready to give up or give in. But trust me, when you are, God wants a relationship with you. Amen. He wants a relationship with you. Say, God wants a relationship with me. Amen. That's hope this morning, folks. That's hope. God wants a relationship with me. So what's He whispering to you this morning? What's the Holy Spirit whispering to you this morning? I'm going to give you just a moment to close your eyes, bow your heads. I'll close us in prayer in just a moment. But I want you just to ask the Lord, what is it that you're whispering to me this morning? Just ask Him in the privacy of where you're at, what is it that you're whispering to me this morning? What kind of choices are you going to make this morning? Will you let Him draw you onto the lap of your Heavenly Father? allow the Heavenly Father to simply put His arms around you, to draw you close to His heart. Feel His love wrapped around you this morning. In the words of Zechariah, let Him sing a love song, a lullaby of love to you this morning. He wants to say to you today, I love you. You're my child. I will go to the ends of the earth for you. I want to help you. I want to spend eternity with you. I love you. I love you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the drawing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, when we look at the situations in which you found us, some of us had some lives that were pretty messed up. Some of the places that we first cried out to you were just downright nasty. Some of the rebellion we were into, the darkness that we embraced, the sins that we found joy in, you didn't give up. You found one more way. You continued to pursue us. And Lord, today, we are thankful. We are thankful people today, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those that we may come into contact this week, and I pray that we do, that are still resisting you, that we would have good news, that we could offer a word of hope, a word of encouragement. Lord, we trust that because we have prayed for that filling of the Holy Spirit, that we will see those opportunities and that we'll have the courage to step boldly into them. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing our closing song?
Thank you, Pastor David, for your testimony this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm shaken to my core this morning. I'm sitting there in the pew thinking of how humbling I feel, or how humbled I feel right now. And I know for me, my pride is something that gets in my way sometimes, because we don't want to turn everything over to God. And this last song, Lord, I Give You Me, that's what we have to do. We have to give our entire self to the Lord so that He can do His work in us, so that we can do His work in the world. Lord, I give you me.
Place me in your plan. That's where I want to thee. Lord, I give you me. Lord, with every breath, I'll worship you in life. I'll worship you in death. And I lay down my heart. It's all I have to give. As long as I live. Lord, I give you me. I give you my all. I'll hold nothing back. I'm answering your call. Though I live or die, your glory is my life, my royal destiny. Lord, I give you me. I give you my all. I'll hold nothing back.
No, nothing.
I'm answering your call. Though I live or die, your glory is my life, my royal destiny. Lord, I give you me. Lord, I give you me.
Amen. Amen. Just a couple things before we wrap up today. Pastor Dan and Linda, actually Linda is the small group leader. They're starting a small group for neighborhood folks who don't have a group yet, right up the street at Earl Simmons' house, at his apartment building. And you can see Pastor Dan and Linda for directions. That's Wednesday, 7 to 8:30. And my wife reminded me, I don't think I mentioned to you that 3 weeks ago today we had a little granddaughter born, Abigail. And on Thursday evening we had a grandson named Aaron come into our family. So it's expanding much more rapidly than what we feel. We're much too young for all that, but yeah, I wish. Please receive this blessing from the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day, awesome week. See you back here next week. The cards. Yes, thank you. Communication cards. Please pass those to the middle. And Michael, would you please pick those up for us? Thank you, sir. Free blood pressure checks are available. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, 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 no. Is there anything that he can't do? No, 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 no. Is there anything impossible? No, 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 no. Will he withhold any good thing from you? Say, no, 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 no. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah.